A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, it's Saturday morning. Welcome to any new listeners that we've got this morning. It's always fun to have new listeners, right?
Yes, it is.
We hope that this hour where we're talking about stuff gets you motivated to tackle one of those lingering projects that you maybe have got at your house.
Yes.
I've got a number of lingering projects.
Don't we all?
They're more looming or lurking, I guess. They've lingered for a while.
So you're dreading them is what you're saying.
Shifted into the lurking mode. Uh-huh. They're just piling up.
Right.
Anyway, today is the perfect day to get out and do stuff. It's the perfect temperature, sunny.
Yes.
It's going to be great. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. So I talked to my mom the other day, mm-hmm. and my aunt or her aunt had called, and she's dealing with bed bugs in the apartment building that she lives in.
Oh.
Yes. Well, but here's the thing. They don't know exactly which apartments have bed bugs.
Oh, hooray.
Yes.
It's like a game that you
right.
don't want to win.
Yeah, it's like flipping the cards over and guessing. So my mom's aunt is in the process of throwing out everything because she might have bed bugs and she doesn't know what else to do. And I said, you know, she doesn't have to do that. There are people you can call that will take care of this and tell you if you have bed bugs. And my mom said, there are? I said, yes, pest control people will do that. So in the studio with us today, we have David, Terry, and their special guest, Chili. They're from Rose Pest Solutions. And they're going to tell us about the canine unit that they have that sniffs out all these bed bugs.
It's really cool.
It is.
Now, another thing we noticed this week, driving around to a number of painter appreciation luncheons at the various Repco Light stores, we noticed tons of metal buildings up mm-hmm. and down the street that really are in a little bit of rough shape.
Yes.
A lot of people are unsure of the steps necessary to paint those metal buildings and get them looking like new. Well, we're going to dig into it and tell you everything you need to know.
Plus, chalkboard paint is a really cool product with so many creative uses. We're going to tell you how to use it and a couple of things that are going to make it just a little bit more fun.
But first, right now, we're in the studio with Matt Baker from Landscape Design Services, and we're going to talk about a common lawn problem and what to do about it. Matt, thanks for being here.
You're welcome. It's great to be back.
Well, I've got a question because I'm out mowing the lawn the other night, and this has been a problem that's progressively gotten worse as the summer has progressed. But I'm going around a couple of trees that normally I had a ton of grass, you know, in previous years, and I'm watching the grass thin out more and more and more. And now I've basically got this big ring of dirt around a couple of really big trees, and I'm not really sure, A, what's going on. And B, what to do about it. You know, I guess the common thing is I could throw some mulch around it, but I think there are other ideas maybe out there. But first off, could you just, I know other people deal with this. I know my folks have had the same problem. What's going on? Is it just shade? And how do I fix it?
Right. Primarily shade. It's a common problem. The grasses we use in Michigan, they're naturally a prairie plant. So
okay.
they're found in these open, expansive prairies, right? And so when they get in around trees, the trees compete for the sunlight and shade the grass out. So grass and trees are natural competitors. They're both
okay.
fighting for nutrient. They're both fighting for sunlight. And so they're working against each other. So as the trees get larger, the canopies get bigger, the space gets shadier, and the grass tends to fade out. And you notice it especially in the summer because it does better in the spring when it's getting some of that sunlight through the
trees, because there's no leaves.
Because there's no leaves.
Gotcha.
And then gradually they fade out in the summer. The grass
okay.
will
so
fade
that's
out
why I'm
summer.
Starting to see this get worse and worse now.
Correct.
All right.
Correct.
So you said this is a prairie grass that we generally have here in Michigan. Is there something that is made for the shade that could be planted under a tree?
Yes. What you'd want to look at, there are some shade-tolerant grass seeds, mm-hmm. but they're still looking for at least, we usually recommend at least 4 hours of direct sunlight,
mm-hmm.
if not 6 to 8 is
okay.
best. So you really need to start looking at other types of plants,
okay.
Ferns or myrtle or ground covers, you know, something else that will tolerate that shade.
So fertilizing, different things like that, that's not going to really help bring this back. And shade-tolerant grass seed is still going to pose a problem because I probably don't have enough sunlight in the spot.
Probably. You can look to limb up the tree, potentially, if it's a shade tree that you've got there that maybe you want to limb it up and try to get some sunlight underneath.
Okay.
It really comes down.
Limb it up. Why don't you tell me exactly what that means?
Limb it up. So the lower branches can get in the way of your mowing, or, you know, they might be very low towards the ground.
I have hit my head a couple times.
You hit your head?
That is a really I have a fight or flight mechanism. I get so mad. I'm ready to go because I don't know what's happened. All of us, you know, something jumped out of the tree. I'm not used to bumping my head. So I would cut these lower branches.
So, yes.
That would be one thing to do.
Yes, you could cut those branches up. Sometimes we have clients approach us and point towards their neighbor's lot and say, the grass is growing there. Great. Why isn't it growing here? Well, it really comes down to the microclimate, which means, you know, we're all in a climate of West Michigan, and then there's some subsets of that. So as you get closer to the lake, it's a little bit different growing conditions than it would be in Grand Rapids.
Okay.
But also, within one site, a shady area has a totally different climate than a sunny spot.
So even within the same yard.
In the same yard. And as you look across the street, sometimes what you have to do is you have to stand where the grass is and imagine where the sun goes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that path of the sunlight is over top of the road. And so your neighbor's yard might have a lot of sun in the front yard,
mm-hmm.
whereas yours is shady because the tree or the house or, you know, maybe your neighbor's trees are shading your yard.
We're going to have to limb up their trees in the middle of the night.
Right. Don't ask first.
That's a more difficult conversation. So.
Right. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, and we're talking about, first, what causes these bare spots under trees. Now, let's talk about some solutions for this. Dan mentioned, you know, potentially mulch underneath. You know, that's kind of what all of us would go to. Are there any things that we need to know? You know, is there a certain type of mulch that, you know, only that certain type should be put under a tree? You know, certain depths of mulch? I mean, what are the particulars on putting mulch under trees that have too much shade?
Certainly. Well, most often we'll use a wood mulch of some sort,
mm-hmm.
either a natural bark mulch or a pigmented wood mulch.
Mm-hmm.
What you're trying to do, the best environment for the tree is to recreate how it grows in nature.
Mm-hmm.
So in nature, you'll see organic material around the base of the tree, and you're kind of trying to recreate that environment. One thing to watch out for is the mulch. As you're, if you convert that area to a mulch bed, you don't want the mulch to build up on the tree. That can pose problems with the bark. As the mulch is against the bark, it can cause rotting. It can also cause extra roots to develop in that mulch. It will kind of grow out from the trunk of the tree.
Okay.
And can cause problems. Also, the tree, in addition to needing water, it needs oxygen. So you can kind of smother around the tree if you get that mulch too deep.
So what is the level I want to be at?
Well, you want to see is a root flare. So what I mean by that is at the base of the tree, and when you look at a tree in a park or in nature, you usually see a kind of a flare or a taper out from the trunk of the tree. When you look at your tree in your yard or as you drive around, if it looks like a telephone pole coming out of the ground, the mulch is probably too deep or it's planted too deep. So you want to see that root flare.
Gotcha.
So you don't want to pile up above the root flare.
Well, I've seen a lot of them where they mound it right up to it, and it does look like a telephone pole coming out.
Right.
So that's too high. You want to see that flare.
And those mounds, we sometimes call them mulch volcanoes, where they
it looks like
a big pyramid of mulch. And that's
it looks
definitely
very natural. It's how you see it in nature.
Right.
Yeah. If nature was perfect.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so mulch is one option, but you mentioned fern.
Yes.
What other options are there? I mean, there's got to be a ton of creative options.
Certainly. So in contrast to the grass, what you'd want to look for is a shade-tolerant plant.
Okay.
Ground covers would allow for the plant material to grow up and over the roots, because sometimes you do get surface roots that will show up.
I have that.
So they're difficult to plant in and around.
Mm-hmm.
So a ground cover like myrtle or pachysandra will grow in the shade, and then the myrtle especially is a vine, so it will grow up and over, cover the root system that's there, and give you a nice flower in the spring as well.
Is it going to spread over my whole yard? Am I going to be fighting the myrtle?
Myrtle is a spreading plant, but not that aggressive, so it will spread. In contrast that to English ivy, which will do the same thing, but English ivy is an aggressive spreader. So English ivy is a good plant if you've got a big area to cover quickly, but you have to worry about it. It will climb the tree and it will definitely take over faster, and it'll be a maintenance problem in itself too.
Okay. What else?
So ajuga is another one.
Now that is fun to say.
I knew you were going to say that.
Ajuga. It's like a song. Ooga, 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 So go ahead.
Ajuga is nice, and then lily turf is another plant.
You're going to have to tell me about ajuga. What is ajuga? I've never heard of ajuga.
Ajuga is a low ground cover. It has purple spires of flowers in the spring. It's a nice plant. It's slower growing than like the myrtle would be, so it's not going to cover as fast.
Okay.
But it will tolerate that shady environment that you've got there.
And what was the last one you said?
That was lily turf.
Okay, that's also kind of cool sounding.
And that one is kind of a lawn grass alternative because it has a grassy type leaf. Also a purple flower, and it's semi-evergreen, so that one will stay up kind of through the winter.
So a lot of different options, a lot of things that I can think about, and I'm going to abandon my plan, which was to just put shade-tolerant grass seed around there and hope for the best.
Right.
I think I'm going to go towards not the English ivy, maybe the ajuga, just so I can tell
just
people
so you can
I have ajuga in my yard. So, Matt, if people want to get a hold of you, you know, if they've got some questions or if they want anything that Landscape Design Services might be able to help them with, how do they best do that?
Best way is probably find us online at landscapeds.com or search us out, Landscape Design Services. And we do have a Facebook page as well. And I'll post some resources on the Facebook page so your listeners can take a look at those this weekend.
Excellent. Sounds good. Matt from Landscape Design Services, thanks for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Chalkboard paint is one of the coolest DIY products out there, and whether you're crafty or not, we've got some awesome projects that'll earn you true Joanna Gaines status. That's after the break. Stay tuned.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me.
Repcolite and Benjamin Moore present a shout out to painting contractors.
Every day you transform the world around you by adding new color. And while you may not be Van Gogh, the end result is still a work of art.
Benjamin Moore's unmatched quality helps assure you of a happy customer every time. Just ask this contractor.
I'm Kurt Van Overloop from KVO Painting. Benjamin Moore is my paint and Repcolite is my store.
The 6 West Michigan Repcolite stores and Port City Paints in Muskegon, where painting pros go for Benjamin Moore.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And we're back. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. So I heard on the radio the other day, some guys were talking about how chalk is going to become a thing of the past as our chalkboards because nobody uses them. Nobody wants these things. So it's just...
They're so old school.
Right. So I, of course, because...
Had a flip out because you're a DIYer and you love creative little projects.
No, because I'm curious. I did a quick Pinterest search and it revealed hundreds and thousands of different chalkboards. Paint ideas. So I totally don't believe what they say because chalk is
going
to be around for a while.
All right. You think it's going to be around for a while?
Yes. According to my research, it's going to be here a while.
Your research on Pinterest.
Yes.
Which is so scientific.
Yes.
Well, one of the things, though, with chalkboard paint is it sounds cool and it does look cool. If you look on Pinterest, you can see there's tons of really cool creative projects that get done.
Right.
But when you look, most of them are done in black chalkboard paint. Or the occasional one in the green, you know, ping pong table color.
Right.
And they look cool, but, you know, for me, that doesn't really fit with everything that we're doing in our house.
Right.
And a lot of people aren't aware that Benjamin Moore makes a chalkboard paint that's available in every single color that Benjamin Moore makes.
Yeah, it's an incredible thing. And it opens up, you know, a whole realm of possibilities out there. The great thing about this product is it's low VOC, it's low odor, it's quick drying, and it's, you know, resists spattering so you don't have a mess everywhere. Usually most projects are going to take a quart, and it's very much like painting a wall. You know, you just roll it on. There's really no extra prep involved.
Right.
You don't have to do anything special.
Just like regular paint.
Right.
The only thing we'd recommend different is that you use a shorter napped roller cover.
Right.
And that's just so that you can create the smoothest writing surface possible.
Yes, exactly.
Now, before we get into some projects, I want to talk about a product out there that will help make a lot of you people who are like me maybe consider some of these projects. Because I'm going to be honest, when I would look at Pinterest or you would show me these chalkboard paint ideas, they look cool.
Yeah,
I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm.
But they look cool in somebody else's house because I would see the little kid standing by the full wall, you know, doing all kinds of creative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't care one little bit about what that little kid was creating, you know?
Yeah.
Because I was looking at the dust piles on the floor
yep.
at the base of where this chalkboard paint was. The chalk yep. dust was insane.
Mm-hmm.
You put it on the wall, you erase it off, dust everywhere. Your kids track it through every part of your house.
Yes.
I did not want to recommend that to any parent out there, because if somebody recommended that and my wife got on the bandwagon
mm-hmm.
and did that,
You would be mad.
I don't know that mad is the right word. Depressed.
Oh.
In need of counseling.
That might be worse.
Oh, I would be cleaning all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, long story, there is a product, liquid chalk markers. Betsy told me about them, and they are the coolest thing out there.
Yes, I made you a convert to chalkboards.
I'm a convert.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Exactly. Yeah, these give you great, bold, bright colors. They stick on there, and they don't wipe off. You know, you can't just smear them and smudge them. There's no dust involved at all. They wipe off with water. That's it. You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, and we're talking about chalkboard paint, you know, how you can get it in every color. And now we want to talk about some creative uses for it. In my searching on Pinterest, I found the coolest thing I have ever seen. A lot of stuff on there is very much the same. You just see it over and over again. But this was a ceiling done. Now, yes, it was in black, but they had painted a ceiling and then, you know, chalk designs on it. In a kid's room, if you would put that up there
mm-hmm.
and put constellations and planets and spaceships and things like that, how cool is that? What kid doesn't want that in their room?
It is just unlimited, the kind of cool stuff that you could do with that, especially
yes.
with the Benjamin Moore product, where you could have any color up there.
Right.
And then just whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, in high school, I remember I had, was it little stars
mm-hmm.
that would glow?
Yeah, I had those
cool.
too. Yep.
I was kind of girly, I guess. But I thought that was pretty cool.
Right.
I pretended I was in Lord of the Rings, you know, camping out.
Right.
All of that. But anyway, if I'd had that, I'd mm-hmm. have spent hours in there just
right.
doodling around, just mm-hmm. creating whatever I wanted that to look like. It was my space. What a great way for them to personalize their own space. That is just a really cool project, a really cool application that's a little more unusual.
Right. And for the parents out there, you know, especially for moms, if you have a sewing or a craft room, this is a great thing to put on the wall so you can make little notes of maybe what you need to get or of measurements that you've taken, things like that. You know, maybe dates if you're into scrapbooking, you can put some dates up there. It's just like an oversized notepad
memories,
on the wall.
Memories that you want to make sure you scrapbook. Like
yes.
when my son slammed my finger in the car door. Let's make sure we scrapbook that.
Right.
Right?
All the
you
blood.
You could make those notes right. You could draw a little picture so you could
yes.
lay it out the way you want.
Right.
It would work in a tool room.
Yes.
You know, just on a wall there. Again, a great place for quick notes, measurements.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I would use it for all the time is dates, important dates. Things that I, you know, when did I have this done on the house? When did we install this?
Right.
When did I last get the sprinkler system blown
mm-hmm.
out? All of those different things.
Yes.
Great place to quick note them down. It's not going to go away if you use these markers unless you intentionally take it down.
Well, and I will say one last little thing for the garage. I saw a toolbox where they had taken chalkboard paint, painted the fronts of all the drawers on it,
mm-hmm.
and then put what was in there. So if you send the kid down to the garage or out to the garage to get a tool, hey, go get me a wrench. They don't have to go through every single drawer to find the wrench. Oh, wrenches. This drawer here. So much
and
easier.
And it's chalkboard paint. So when
right.
they put them in the wrong spot, they just need to be trained to erase what was there and write it in the new spot.
Right. Exactly.
Maybe I could be trained too.
Right. And one thing I know, Dan, you and I talked about, you know, this idea of having a tray or something where people have put chalkboard paint on it and they put cheese and meats and things on it.
Well, we've seen that. And that is the dumbest, grossest thing.
Right.
I don't want a tray with a slab of cheese sitting there.
Right.
And then somebody hand wrote Gouda
right.
or whatever.
With chalk.
With chalk. No
yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, it grossed both of us
you
out.
You eat your own chalk Gouda.
But wait, I found the alternative to that. Somebody painted a buffet with chalkboard paint on the top. And so you can, you know, set out your plates of different things and you write on the top of the buffet, not where the food goes.
That's a much better application. Just be aware, there are a boatload of bonehead ideas out
yes.
there. But the premise or the concept behind some of those ideas is really smart, really creative.
Right.
Just find a way to weed through the garbage.
Yes.
Weed through the silly stuff. And then find the real practical applications that will work in your home.
You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore, on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Stick around. After the break, we're going to be talking about painting metal buildings and roofs. Stay tuned.
What if there was a paint so special that you had to seek it out? Not like that. Not that far. Much closer. Like your neighborhood Benjamin Moore retailer. Yep, you got it. Because if finding that paint makes you and your walls beam with pride, is it still paint? Benjamin Moore. Paint like no other.
Serving all of West Michigan, Repco Light Paints is your neighborhood Benjamin Moore retailer. Learn more at repcolite.com.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost. On News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Welcome back. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. And we're going to jump right into our next segment and talk about metal buildings. You know, a lot of people have them because they're durable, but a lot of them fall victim to rust and fading. You know, a new coat of paint is often the solution to this, but a lot of people are really unsure as to how to actually do this project.
Right. Generally, we run into people who struggle with three key areas of confusion: the prep work, the product, and the application. Those are the main areas of confusion, and we're going to try to clear up all of that confusion by focusing on each one of them separately. And the first one is surface prep.
Yes.
And we could go on and spend the whole segment talking about surface prep.
Yes.
And we'd lose most of the listeners.
Uh-huh.
Surface prep is important. So we're going to just kind of highlight the main things. With this particular situation with a metal building, whether it's the roof or whether it's the siding, the very first place to start is to deal with the rust that you might have there. Any heavy scaling or anything like that needs to come off. So wire brush it. Maybe get one of those wire brush attachments for your drill.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you need to do to get that rust, that scaling rust off.
Right. If it's just surface rust, you can leave it and just prime it a little bit later. If you have any holes, you need to make sure that you patch those up with some Bondo. You know, it works on cars. It'll work great on your metal building. Once you've done that, it's time to clean the surface.
Everybody's favorite part of the project.
Yes, exactly. Now, we recommend TSP or Jomax, which is a house cleaner. Scrub it on there. Make sure you actually scrub it on there. Don't just spray it on.
Get a scrub brush and actually do the scrubbing.
Yep.
And yes, for everybody who's asking right now, does he really mean we need to do the scrubbing? Yes, we do. Power washing alone isn't enough.
Right. So once you've got the cleaner on there, now you can get out your power washer and power wash it off. Then check the surface to see if there's any white chalkiness left. You know, that happens a lot on metal buildings. If that's on there, unfortunately, you have to clean it again. Yes, until all of that chalkiness is gone. Then you're ready to go on to the next step.
Right. The next area of confusion is typically the product.
Right.
Now, what do I get to put on this building to make it look good?
Right.
And let's just break it into two parts, the primer and the finish paint.
Yep.
Because the primer is going to be very simple. It's the same product for the roof or the siding.
Mm-hmm.
And we recommend Repcolite's 449 Metal Primer. It's a rust-inhibitive oil-based primer.
Mm-hmm.
You can put latex or oil over top of it.
Right.
And you just get that primer, that 449 Metal Primer, and you spot prime all those areas that you dealt with rust.
Right. Now, once you've got everything primed, now it's time to talk about finish paint. And this is where we start breaking it apart into the roof of the metal building and the actual walls of the metal building.
Because the product recommendation is going to be different for each of these different areas.
Right. Now, most metal roofs are factory coated steel, aluminum, or possibly even factory coated galvanized. Now, we recommend an oil-based top coat, and we recommend it in a lighter color because those darker colors are going to heat up. You don't want that. Plus, you know, they tend to fade more, and it's possible for it to fail because it's holding all that heat in.
Right. So a light color, we recommend Repcolite's glow enamel or metal clad.
Mm-hmm.
Good oil-based products, they're going to lose their gloss outside.
Yep.
So they're going to fade down or get a little more dull,
mm-hmm.
but they're going to stay put, and
right.
they're extremely cost-effective. So those are great options in a light color.
Right.
If you're absolutely convinced that you need a darker color up there, or you need something that's going to retain its gloss,
mm-hmm.
There is an option for you. It's not going to be a traditional coating.
Nope.
It's a two-component urethane. We carry one. It's Pitthane from PPG,
yep,
and it's a Cadillac option. It's going to look nice, and it's going to look nice for a long time. But as a Cadillac option, it's going to cost a little more.
Yep, and if the roof is bare galvanized steel, which is not a terribly common thing, then the recommendations change a little bit, and you should come into a Repcolite or Port City Paints, or you can even call us, and we'll help you get the right products for that particular roof.
You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore, and we're talking about painting a metal building. And we just talked about the recommendations for the roof,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to transition now to the siding and deal with that. Now, with the siding, we recommend a good acrylic latex here.
Yes.
And we recommend Repcolite's Endura, which is a great exterior latex product, or Benjamin Moore's Exterior Aura or Regal.
Right. You want to use Aura if you're doing a dark color, you know, perhaps a dark blue, dark green, burgundy, something like that. That's going to be the better coating option for you.
It just covers a lot better. You'll be much happier with the outcome and the process.
Exactly. Now, you might be asking yourself, wait a minute, both of these surfaces are metal. Why am I using two different products?
Yeah, why latex on the side? Why oil on the roof?
Right. Really, it just comes down to the pitch of the roof. If you have a flat roof or a very low pitch on it, snow collects. We are in Michigan. Snow collects on that roof. It freezes and it thaws, and it will make that latex coating come right off. You know, it's not going to happen on the sides of the building, but on the roof it does. So that's why you want to use an oil up there.
Now, if you've got a 512 pitch or greater to that roof, latex should be okay.
Right.
But anything less than that, like Betsy's saying, stick to the oil. It's the go-to recommendation there.
Right. Now, the last area of confusion is application. You know, how do you put this paint on?
The siding's not smooth.
Well, and you know, maybe the roof isn't either.
Exactly.
So everyone wants to go to the spraying option. And yes, you can do that. You know,
way faster.
That is an option. However, you need an absolutely dead calm day, not a tree moving, not a leaf moving, because otherwise you're going to end up with overspray, especially if you're spraying the roof. It will go everywhere.
And, well, it's an oil base that you're using on the roof, which stays wet longer. So that overspray can actually travel. You could put paint on your neighbor's house.
Yep. Or
cars,
your own house.
Your own house. We've had painters actually coat. I talked to one a few years ago who coated about 50 cars in a parking lot at a restaurant just because the overspray floated the paint down there. So you've got to be hyper vigilant about the weather if you're going to use a sprayer. It'll work, but just be cautious about that. The other option is safer, but a whole lot slower, and that's just, you know, good old brushing and rolling.
Right. That is the better option usually when you're doing a pole building just because of that overspray. Now, either way, time of day and the conditions are going to be your keys to success. You know, this is just like any other exterior painting project that we talk about. You need to make sure that that surface isn't hot. You need to make sure that you're painting on the shaded side of the building, not in the direct sunlight. And you have to be sure that you give that paint enough time to dry at the end of the day before dew sets in.
Right. And of course, last minute thoughts, any work that you do on ladders or on a roof, you've got to make sure that you exercise caution because we want you safe.
You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore on News Radio with 1300 and 106.9 FM.
What's the fastest way to find bed bugs that may be lurking in your home? You get a better nose, of course. We're going to tell you exactly what we mean by that when we come back. Stay tuned. Repcolite and Benjamin Moore present a shout-out to painting contractors.
Every day you transform the world around you by adding new color. And while you may not be Van Gogh, the end result is still a work of art.
Benjamin Moore's unmatched quality helps assure you of a happy customer every time. Just ask this contractor.
I'm Dan Skipper from Skip's Painting. Benjamin Moore is my paint, and Repcolite is my store.
The six West Michigan Repcolite stores and Port City Paints in Muskegon, where painting pros go for Benjamin Moore.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Oh, there ain't no bugs on me. There ain't no bugs on me. There may be bugs on some new mugs, but there ain't no bugs on me.
It's like the music episode today.
Yes, it is.
It's really fun to bring in other music. And that is really good writing. There may be bugs on some of you mugs, but there ain't no bugs on me. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. And I have to tell you, I am very thrilled that there are no bugs on you.
That makes two of us, Betsy.
Yes.
I am ecstatic that I'm not covered with bugs.
Well, you should be, because there are people out there who are not quite as fortunate as you.
They are going to be they are covered with bugs?
Well, potentially, because bed bugs have come back with a vengeance, and they are everywhere. So we are in the studio with David Pop, Terry Giffen, and Chili from Rose Pest Solutions, and we're going to talk about an interesting approach that they have to identifying this bed bug infestation that may be in your home. They actually have a canine unit, and that is a very cool thing to me, something I had not anticipated. David, Terry, and Chili, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Glad to be here.
So, Terry, I was so excited when I heard that there was a canine division for bed bugs. It's not just people going out looking for bed bugs. It's dogs, because everyone knows I love dogs. So can you tell us a little bit about this division? Because this seems a little odd. You know, we know bomb-sniffing dogs and things like that, but bed bugs?
Correct. It seems a little bit new. But we've been around as far as canine scent detection for probably about 10 years or so.
Oh, wow.
Our company itself just got into it in 2011, but that was after a couple years of subbing dogs out, and we finally did some research and found out, you know, what kind of dogs are best out there and does this really work? And we decided, instead of subbing dogs, that we were going to create our own division, our own team, so we would have company employees, the human as well as the dog. So after a few years, we found a good training facility. Our company purchased two dogs, and this was in January of 2011. And we got a couple people from outside the company, a couple people from within the company that joined the division from business aspects, from the dog knowledge, and from training and all that. And we put together two teams. One was for all of Ohio, and one was for Michigan and Indiana.
Wow.
We grew unbelievable from that point.
But how many teams do you have now?
Currently, we have nine teams, but we have two dogs, the original two, which was Chili, who's here with us today, and Ranger, who is our Ohio dog. They're kind of our backup dogs, so they don't work steadily like they did before, but they fill in, because dogs get sick just like us.
Right.
And the job has to be done, so they'll go out and do that. Also, can chip in and help out on some big jobs when we're doing apartments or college dorms or something like that.
So tell us about how you get these dogs. I mean, are they bred to sniff out bed bugs, or is there a certain breed?
No, the breed really doesn't matter. It's what we decided and what we found works best. We have a majority of our terrier breeds, and we got those just because of their behavior, their willingness to hunt. Our dogs are trained to alert on the odor or the presence of odor of live bed bugs and viable eggs only.
Okay.
Not the dead ones, not the
calf
skins.
Okay, not the dead ones.
Not the dead ones, not the calf skins, not the droppings or the old eggs, because we want to be able to rule that out if a treatment's been done to go in and clear it.
So if they come in and notice that they don't alert on any of that stuff, they're only going to alert on live
if they're properly trained and monitored and kept up, correct. Now, they will identify the odor of the other stuff. And when they may have what we call a change of behavior, they'll show interest, but they're not going to, well, the best case scenario is that they do not alert on the old stuff, only the live.
Okay.
So where do you get these dogs?
We have two training facilities, and we have one that's located in Florida and one located in Kansas. They are professional trainers.
Okay.
They train other types of dogs as well, as for scent detection, police dogs, bomb-sniffing dogs, but they also do behavioral training for dogs there. So they're professionals at that. They've been forever. And they train them, and they imprint them on the scent detection. And then our handler goes down, or our divisional trainer goes down, and then they work with them for about a week or so just to make sure that this dog is going to fit for us. And then we bring them back, and then we hand it off to our divisional trainer, which will train the dog with a new handler. And this process could take, you know, 4 to 6 months or so.
To get them ready to go.
Now, to get them ready to go.
Shelter dogs, right?
Some of our dogs are shelter dogs. We've got a few that were, let's say, washed out from rabbit hunting school. Or
they failed.
Yeah, that was Ranger. He was a washout, as I'd say. But he worked real well.
He's good with finding bed bugs.
He works really well.
Maybe that was what his calling was all along.
Sounds
he just
like
didn't
it.
Feel fulfilled seeking
a I think it's because he's very low energy. We prefer the high energy dogs, but this was a particular one that was our first one, so we didn't know any better. But the rest of the dogs, we've got some that we actually went out and handpicked from the shelter. We went out, once we knew what we were looking for, the behavior that we were after, we picked them ourselves, and then we shipped them down, or we took them down to the training facilities where they spent the next, you know, 4 to 6 months training, and then we went and picked them up.
You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, and we're in the studio with Terry Giffen and David Popp from Rose Pest Solutions.
And Chili.
I forgot about Chili. I should not have.
That's like the star right now.
Chili's the bed bug sniffing dog.
Yes.
That we've got visiting with us today, who is, I want to let everybody know, she's not found anything. Or he's not found anything, right? right?
He has not.
He has not found anything.
Well, he found bed bugs in a vial that was placed there intentionally.
Earlier, we were seeing how it works, how the process works. And Terry actually went to my folks' house, and we've got some video.
Yeah,
and we're going to
post
that.
Check it out online.
Online, so you can check that out. My parents were very concerned that they were going to have bed bugs. And I guess that gets me too. You know, it was very interesting to watch the whole process, how you bring Chili in, work him around the room, and instantly, once he hit that spot where the bed bugs were, alerted him. Instantly, that got my mom thinking about all the other things in her house that might have bed bugs. And I guess that's what I want to talk about real quickly is just how prevalent this can be, right? I mean, people can get this from almost everywhere.
They can get it just about anywhere.
Now, you said
used furniture is one of the biggest ones.
Yeah.
Picking them up while traveling at a motel, or you've went to somebody else's place that might have had an infestation. Movie theaters, libraries, healthcare facilities where they're not keeping up a diligent inspection, and a little population gets built up, there's a slight chance that you could pick something up there and bring around. Dave, you can chime in on that a little bit, where you've kind of seen it in the field, but I've seen it more from used furniture getting transferred back and forth. It's the economy that we live in. It's like, hey, this is free or this is cheap. I'm going to get secondhand, and without knowing that that thing was infested.
Was infested.
Yes.
I'm going to live in a bubble.
Yikes.
Anywhere where the body's at rest has the threat of having bed bugs. So going from one person's place, they were unaware that they had bed bugs. Picking up an item, say a purse, if you had your purse there, or a computer bag, and you bring it over, and bed bugs get into those items, and then next thing you know, you're bringing them home to your place.
So how accurate are the dogs? And it's a team effort, right?
Correct.
I mean, it's not just on the
dog. Because you have to read your dog, and your dog, the alert is what the handler calls it. And we have what we call an aggressive alert, so the dog tracks the scent, paws at it, and he gets his reward. However, we can have where the dog is on odor, might not give the active alert, the scratch, but the handler recognizes that, and we may call that alert just because you know the dog really well. So as far as accuracy, they throw out 93%, 97%, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. But if the odor's not there and to the dog's nose, there's 0%. If the odor is there and it's a well-trained team, they're 100%.
But your general experience with this is it's pretty good.
It's high.
It's high. Things can go wrong.
Oh, yeah. For humans, they say in the 40s to 50% go out and do a visual search. Where dogs, you might be up in the mid to high 90s.
Wow.
Okay.
But it's just also the size. If you take an egg, which is a couple grains, size of a couple grains of salt, and then the first star stage that comes out of that, it's almost clear. Mm-hmm. Think about how hard that is to find for a human eye, or the dog can nail that.
Well, I thought it was great when you brought Chili into my mom and dad's house. I don't know if you could tell. And again, the video's online. I don't know how much of mom and dad I actually got because they warned me ahead of time not to film them a whole lot, but they were terrified. And then, you know, so Chili goes through and finds the bed bugs that you hid. And then mom is thinking, I'm going to have them check a chair that she just bought at the mission store.
Mm-hmm.
And Chili goes down there. And my goodness, if he doesn't stop at the corner of the chair, I could hear my mom. I thought I heard her pass out and slide
just
down the steps. But you said Chili was just messing with you, and that's where the relationship between the handler and the dog.
A little bit. No. And everybody's watching, so he thinks he has to show off.
Right.
And typically when our teams go in, it's like, let's leave us alone and let us go because it's a distraction to have people.
Sure, I can see that.
And little things like that, just a little, he's going to go, I'm going to nail this because I'm going to show off to somebody. And that's just Chili. Not all of our dogs are like that. I just know him after working with him for so many years when he's messing with me.
Yeah.
So, David, how do our listeners get in touch with Rose Pest Solutions if they have concerns about bed bugs or any of the other pests that you guys would take care of?
Well, they can call our local office here in Granville, and our number is 616-534-5493.
Okay.
They can also search us on our website at www.rosepestsolutions.com, and we're all over on social media.
David and Terry, thanks so much for
taking
time. And Chili.
Thanks, Chili.
I'm so sorry.
He's sleeping on the floor right now.
Yes.
Thanks for taking time out of your day.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome.
And that's going to do it for the RepcoLite Home Improvement Show today. Remember, you can find previous episodes online at RepcoLite.com, along with show notes and a whole bunch of other cool stuff that we put out there. go check it out, because it took a lot of time to make it, and we'd really like somebody at least to go see it. So
yes,
check it out.
Exactly. And we're also all over the social media world. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and even a little bit of YouTube. And be sure to check out the video of Chili finding bedbugs at Dan's parents' house. It is hilarious.
Mom was terrified. You gotta see
it. Yes, I can see why. It's on Facebook right now.
Right.
Check it out.
She's still alive, but for a minute there, we
were
sure.
A little worried. Yes.
And of course, no matter what project you're working on this weekend, paint is always going to make it better.
Right.
Even if you don't really understand how you could use paint,
stop in at any
Repco Light or Port City Paint store, and we'll help you figure out a way. We're open till 3 o'clock today, and there's one right near you. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And those ever-widening bald spots around your trees in the yard.
Bald is beautiful, right?
It's not beautiful on your yard, Betsy. Oh. Not at all. Oh. Thanks for listening.